Welcome to TC Daily, the technology show brought to you by Tech Central. I'm Duncan MacLeod. If you haven't subscribed yet, please do so. You can do so on YouTube at youtube.com/TechCentral or subscribe to our daily newsletter at techcentral.co.za/newsletter. Now, I'm very pleased to welcome my next guest into the studio. It's Dietlof Maree, and he is chief executive of, Vumatel, but you're now chief executive of a company called Massive, which is the new holding company of both Vumatel and Dark Fiber Africa. But Dietlof, you're also still running Vumatel, is that right?
Yeah, I'm still the CEO of Vumatel as well.
Okay.
But we created this parent company called Massive. Mm-hmm. You know, it's from the Greek word massi,
right,
which means togetherness. And we just put the V on to make it Massive. And it's a parent company with DFA and Vumatel under it now, you know.
Right. And it's spelled M-A-Z-I-V.
That's right.
Yes. And I guess it's a play on the word massive as well.
It's exactly like
that. Yeah. And those are your ambitions, to be a massive player in the fiber market.
Listen, we are a massive
player. You are, really.
But, you know, I think what we're seeing is with DFA, you know, DFA was very disruptive 12 years ago, you know, with bringing dark fiber to South Africa.
And,
you know, they got like a 15,000-kilometer fiber network linking up base stations and businesses. You know, so really, I think leader in their market share, you know. And then you got Vuma, you know. Yeah. We started 7 years ago. First Parkhurst, I think we interviewed with you as well, you know, when we launched.
Yes.
And it's just absolutely fantastic today. 1.7 million homes passed, you know.
We're looking 1.7 million.
Yeah.
Wow.
We're looking at going for 2 million, trying hard, pushing hard my operational people to get to 2 million this year. Yes.
Wow. That's incredible. I remember meeting Neil Schoeman, who was the founding CEO of Vumatel, in Parkhurst, where he actually put the spade in the ground. Mm. It feels like just the other day.
Listen, it's been so, you know, look at it, what we've done over the last 5 years.
Yeah.
And it's exponential, you know. Mm. Every year is just faster.
Yeah.
You know. But I think under the massive, you know, we're looking at, you know, if you look at it from a purpose point of view and what we want to stand for, it's human connectivity.
And yes.
It's changing lives, you know, it's really making that impact. And I think both these organizations and both the segments, enterprise and consumer, if you look at where we play in those segments, we're doing it.
Yeah.
You know, but the challenge is how do we do it better?
Yeah.
You know, and we're sitting with this opportunity where, you know, if you look at the market penetration on fiber to the home, it's 25%. You know, so we're still sitting with that percentage. I don't think everybody will ever connect at home, but I think there's still a 60%, 70%, 75% penetration there.
This is astonishing. Absolutely astonishing. Given that first, the what do you call the dirt? The sods were dug up in Parkhurst. Yeah. What, 7, 8 years ago now?
8 years ago, yeah.
How much this market has changed. Now, I remember pre-Vumatel, companies like Telkom and others saying, and the mobile operators saying, fiber doesn't make sense in a South African market. Mm. We live too far apart. The economics will never work. Vumatel came and proved them all hopelessly wrong. Yeah. Are you sometimes surprised at how successful you've been?
Listen, definitely. You know, and I think with us launching the prepaid model as well, you know, just it was impossible for us to think like that. And suddenly we sat there one day, and I can remember we're still debating this, you know, how do we go into a lower segment, you know, the previously underserved areas. And a lot of people around the table said, listen, this is still impossible. You know? Yeah. And then the prepaid thing came up. Mm-hmm. And today everybody's replicating the prepaid. Mm-hmm. You know, so we were one of the first countries in the world that did a prepaid, copied obviously from mobile, but we did a prepaid on fixed.
Yeah.
And I think it's those small little things that you know, make the impossible possible. You know, and it's a bit of a mindset thing. Mm-hmm. You know, so even if you look at massive, how we want to position it is from a challenger brand point of view, you know. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to be second to challenge. I mean, from a leadership point of view, how do we keep challenging ourselves? Meaning, how do we keep on creating innovative solutions? How do we disrupt? Mm. And how do we actually get to a point where the consumer can benefit from it?
Yeah.
And I think that's the simple thing. And honestly, you look at the two teams, you look at the enterprise team, DFA, you look at the Vuma team. It's these young, amazing, dynamic people, you know, that's just got this can-do attitude. So it's not thousands of people. We're running it with 700 people, you know, both organizations combined.
But there's a risk-taking element as well from a leadership point of view. I mean, if you look at Remgro, you know, I speak to Peter Ace from time to time, and he's the chairman of Massive. and also a senior executive in Remgro. And he's also incredibly bullish about the market opportunity here. And these are risk-taking moves. I mean, you're spending billions and billions of rand rolling out infrastructure into parts of the country where previously people said there's no financial model to do this like this. And yet you're saying, we're going to do it. We're investing the money. It's going to work. You're taking a risk. And while you have those young teams on the ground, the leadership teams of both Remgro and Massive / Vumatel / DFA are also pretty aggressive, right?
Yeah, and that's the challenge, you know. How do you keep that innovative risk, a little bit of a risk-taking, you know, fail-forward type of scenario in the business? You know, it gets tougher the bigger you get, you know, because it gets more structured, more business case orientated. But I think that's the culture we want to create and keep, you know, and build on. What plays in our favor is the market. You know, we unconnected market. You know, so really it's efficiencies. It's obviously innovative solutions to get to points where you can offer these services at price points that make sense in areas that need the services. Mm-hmm. You know, and you know, I was at the Digital Council Forum the other day, and you know, I always believe that connectivity is super critical. Mm-hmm. You know, when we brought 2G into the markets in Africa, we closed the gap, you know, the digital gap in a way. People could communicate and contact businesses, and suddenly Central Africa opened up. And that gap we closed, I can remember years ago, we could never get fax machines to work even ever in the DRC. Mm-hmm. And we skipped some technologies. But the gap we closed, I believe, in the late 90s, early 2000s, will be super small against the gap that's being created in the world at this point through connectivity, because everything is just going faster. So by 2030, we need a connected South Africa to compete. It's as simple as that. Yeah. And if we can't get it right, that gap, that digital gap between us and the rest of the world will be huge, much bigger than we saw in the early 2000s. And I think that's the purpose. I mean, that's what we want to do. We want to say, listen, let's take those risks in a controlled way, you know, and challenge new things, get the solutions, but let's create connectivity. Let's connect South Africa and in a way, Africa in time.
Yes. Are there any other companies that you kind of model yourself after? I mean, are there other fiber providers elsewhere in the world in developing markets that have done what you were doing here?
I think we're leading. Listen, I was in Vodafone for a long time. You know, Portugal was our leading market at that point. Mm-hmm. I think we're better than them. I have to say that. But no, so we're doing it differently. And our market dynamics is totally different.
Yeah.
You know, our demographics is totally different. I mean, you know, just the market economics is different. You know, we're building in places now with people with household incomes lower than 5,000 rand a month. You know, and how do you make that affordable? How do you get a return on investment in markets like that? And yes, you can maybe go look at the Brazils of the world or some of the India places in the world, but I think we're leading in our market at this point. And it's out of the box thinking, you know, we're getting solutions that is very specific to South Africa at this point, you know. And I think that's a key factor for us.
I want to spend quite a bit of time exploring that with you and some of the markets you're looking to go into and why and how you're going to do that. But let's just talk a little bit about the restructuring of the business. DFA and Vumatel have historically been quite separate businesses, but shared shareholding at the top. Mm. They're now being brought together under the Massive stable. Just take us through why that's happening, why the businesses are being integrated, what opportunities you see in doing that.
I think it was always an objective for CIVH to do it. You know, when CIVH bought into Vuma, you know, I think the idea was always to see, listen, what synergies can we get from a core network point of view? What synergies can we get from a technology point of view? And I think the end goal was always to get to the customer, you know, to expand footprint, you know, to get to solutions, exactly what I was saying, from an innovative point of view, to get to places that was definitely not possible in the past. You know, for instance, if you look at it a few years ago, there was no way you could get backhaul into the small secondary cities type of scenario, you know. And I think that's what scale does, you know. It gives you opportunities that makes economical sense to get into these areas and then expand the product and services that you want to offer out there, you know. And I think that was always the goal. I think and really Peter Ace was driving that. I think that was his idea. We just haven't done it yet, you know. So now we created this parent vehicle company over the two segments, which is the enterprise and the consumer segment. And I think now it starts, you know, now we can really look at some of these synergies to say, listen, do we actually integrate the core layer and look at things a little bit differently on how do we roll out stuff into different markets? And I think that's the objective. So it's more for me an efficiency thing and then also to expand footprint and getting solutions, innovative solutions out there that we can absolutely cater for the market need
right
in time, you know.
Right. Now, you've invested billions in the network. You've got Vodacom now. I think the deal's done. We're just waiting for approval from the Competition Commission. When are we expecting that, by the way?
Listen, we're going through the process, you know, so we've done a few of the requests for information type of questionnaires. I think it's going well, you know, at this point. You know, we did our application a year ago, you know, so it's been a year
it's
now.
It's taking its time.
It's taking its time, but listen, it's also a very serious type of a transaction and deal. But I think it's positive. You know, if you look at it, you know, we're building up our business block of businesses is definitely open access, you know, and it's expanding. It's getting to the people, you know, it's going into lower LSM areas, it's going into previously underserved areas, you know, it's connecting South Africa. So I think all of that makes sense, you know, and I think ICASA and both ICASA and, the Comcom has to go through the process, you know. Obviously we want it to happen a little bit faster. But listen, it's a process. I think at this point it's very positive from our side, yes.
So Vodacom's going to take 30% of the business, but there's an option for them to take up to 40% within the first year, is it?
Yes.
They're investing, I think it's 6 billion rand, if I remember correctly. They're also bringing their network to the table. So I think it's largely fiber to the business, but they also have some fiber to the home infrastructure as well. And they've agreed with the shareholders that their network, their fiber assets that are being contributed, will become open access.
Yes.
Just explain to me what open access is exactly and why were the shareholders insistent that if this deal was to go ahead, that Vodacom would make its own fiber assets open access as well?
Yeah, I think open access, there's a few definitions, but my basic definition of open access is it's just opening your network to every service provider in South Africa.
Right.
You know, if you look at it, you know, if you look at all the other FNOs, they all got big ISPs linked to them directly. You know, we're one of the only FNOs with not an ISP linked to us, really. You know, so we appear open access type of a network, meaning that you got all these layers, the service layer. If you want to take part in the network, we allow you at the same terms to take part in our network, you know, to take portions of our network. And I think it's the way to do business, you know,
right.
It drives competition, it creates, and a vibrant market, you know. We got currently on Vuma Network, we got nearly 78 ISPs on the network, you know, and all different propositions, you know, competing differently in different segments, different areas, you know, and that creates that excitement. And I think that's it. Same with DFA. I mean, every business, service business in South Africa can contact DFA and take part in or lease portions of their network or do commercial agreements on their network. And I think that's the way we have to do business. You know, we infrastructure layer and you've got a clear service layer that you keep open access.
Yes. Right. Okay. So, Dietloff, you said the network is now reaching 1.7 million homes passed. I know you don't publish your connection rate, but, you know, you've rolled out extensively across Johannesburg and Cape Town and some of the other cities as well. Are the cities pretty much done now in terms of the suburbs?
I would say Your high LSM suburbs definitely done.
Okay.
So we're looking at about a 4.5 million homes passed in you know, how high LSM areas, you know, and
in total,
Yeah. So there's overbuilt there definitely. Mm-hmm. The people, obviously, some of the older technology is being swapped out, but some of the FNOs now, you know, that the DSL type of solutions, copper, being swapped out now. So we're looking at about a 35% overbuilt, which I think is a bit of a problem as well, because you got people double investing in areas, you know, and then you also got this huge underserved area at this point with no connectivity, you know. So it's, for me, you know, I can debate that for a little while, but. You're seeing some overbuild happening in the markets, but really on the high LSM areas, you know, the easier side of the country coverage has been done. You know, so for me, it's now the next. You know, it's the 4.4 million homes, which basically is in the LSM bracket of between 30,000, just under 30, between 5,000 and 30,000 rand a month. you know, those are the Mitchell's Plains and the, some of the Soweto areas, you know, the Vosloorus, Soshanguve areas. And we've built nearly 1 million homes there. So we're chasing to get to 1 million homes by middle next year.
Yeah.
I would love to see that we can build 2-3 million homes in that segment. But it, it becomes a little bit more difficult because it becomes smaller. You know, you've got your nice, you know, volume areas, and then it becomes a little bit smaller. But, but I see us moving into those areas really rapidly. And there's 4.4 million homes in that segment.
Do you change your approach in those areas to make it more affordable to roll out? Do you do aerial fiber rather than trenching? How do you approach
it? Yeah, it's a mix. It's a mixture. So if you look at, we started in Mitchell's Plain, and the soil was so soft in Mitchell's, we could do a mowing technique, which was fantastic. But we only mowed on the one side of the road, and then we did passes underneath the roads. But you use different techniques, but you have to get the cost down.
Yeah.
But then also, I mean, remember your area of coverage is smaller, you know, so your density is higher, which makes it much more feasible, and that's why you can actually get to different price points because of the cost of capital per home.
Yes,
you know, and I think that's the science behind it, you know. Mm-hmm. But so I use aerial. Aerial is fantastic, you know. If you can use aerial, and we do it in such a great way that really it's quick to deploy. It's very efficient, effective, and it creates the opportunity to put a price out there that makes sense, you know. So basically, it's different models. Then obviously, as you go to different areas, it differs. But I would say, listen, it's very capital intensive. Like this year, we're spending nearly $3 billion just on putting fiber in the ground. You know, and we've been doing this for quite a while, you know. And it's always back to a return on investment, effectively, you know. But what I'm very serious about is quality. You know, if you look at it, you get all these, you get a lot of solutions where people just roll out because it's dense. People think, listen, you know, it's low LSMs, you know, low household incomes. You know, we can roll out a mesh service or a wireless service, and then suddenly the capacity just gets eaten up. Mm-hmm. You know, we're seeing now and then your quality of service just goes down, you know. So we're seeing in Mitchell's Plain, for instance, houses are now using 400 gigs of data a month, which is basically 1.5 times more than in Sandton or Parkhurst because of people in the house. There's 7, 8, 10 devices in those homes. So how can they survive on a wireless solution? You know, and I think quality is critical, you know. The deeper you go into the previously underserved areas, the more focus should be on quality. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's what we also telling ICASA and the regulators is the solutions we're giving to the people are quality solutions. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's the critical thing, you know, because that's where you need the stable connectivity. The kids there have to get access to the schooling.
Yeah.
You know, you have to be able to do your work from home there, you know, because that's where the people are. And that's where we're going to change South Africa. That's how I see it.
Right. Now, this product you've got in Mitchell's Plain, is that called Vuma Reach?
That's Reach, yeah. That's the LSM between 30,000, below 30,000, and above 5,000 per month.
Yeah. And you've rolled out uncapped broadband at a certain speed, right?
Yeah, we got three speeds there.
We got three speeds.
To 2010.
Yeah.
We started with 2010.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, we thought about it, and there were people that obviously wanted to do, they were doing call center work from home, they were studying from home, they created their own businesses from home, and they wanted a better speed. So, so we're doing a 40 meg service as well, and a 100 meg service now.
Wow. You know? Wow.
So there's a limit. I mean, it's going to be difficult for us to do a gig or 10 gig service from there, but really we can get, I think we can easily get to 100, 200 service in time. You know, we'll have to upgrade the network a little bit. Yeah. But still, I mean, we can give 100 service, 100 service in those areas. Yes.
Okay. And the pricing starts at what sort of level on Vuma Reach?
It's like a $3.99 package for uncapped 20 meg service. Yes.
Okay. And then going up for the faster speed.
Okay. Yeah.
And what sort of take up has there been in Mitchell's?
No,
Plain?
Phenomenal take up. So there's areas that it's like double some of the take ups.
Wow.
That we've seen in
really
some of the core networks. Yes.
That's astonishing. Mm. So the demand's there.
The demand's there because the need's there.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, and this is where you change lives, you know, And that's what we stand for. I mean, honestly, we're doing it because of impact. Yes, obviously return on investments, and I've got shareholders looking at me as well. but listen, if you do it like that and there's a purpose and you're doing it correctly, I mean, you'll see the returns coming.
I mean, everyone thought that townships and places like Mitchell's Plain would always be connected through some sort of wireless solution, be it mobile or something else. But you're actually proving that it's not necessarily true. Do you think that the whole of Soweto is going to get wired up with 5G?
They're wired up.
Already?
Yeah. We basically wired up Soweto.
The whole thing?
Very close to the whole thing.
That's astonishing. I didn't even know you'd... I know you'd started there. I didn't realize you'd...
No, huge.
Switched on already?
Switched on active. It's been running for the last year and a half.
Take up in Soweto?
Fantastic.
Okay. So, Fosluris. So, you're going to focus on all the big townships on the periphery of the cities?
We've basically focused on them. Okay. Mm. So basically done. Obviously, there's pockets of places we have to go to still.
Yeah.
But I would say the big ones, Mamelodi, I think we're in process of. I mean, there's one or two other players in Mamelodi at this point. But Shushengwe, Fosler really doing well. Phoenix chats with KZN.
Okay.
Fantastic. So you've got these pockets of places that's absolutely working fantastic.
Mm. What have your learnings been in rolling out in these areas? Are there challenges that you specifically challenges you?
Community. Yeah. You have to get the community honestly to believe in it.
Right.
And you've got different elements. You've got forums and you've got people playing a little bit around. But
that still goes
but really local empowerment, definitely.
Okay.
But bigger than that is obviously you're going to use local labor. You work with the communities. But the community backing, because I have to realize what benefit this brings to the community and what it does to development. And I think if they understand that perfectly, and then the community drives actually the rollout for us.
Okay.
So
does that then deal with these issues like these?
Yeah, normally gets sorted out normally. Yes, you always get these informal forums working, it's tough. Remember, it's very tough to do it, But really, I think if the community sees what it does, there's educational programs. We cover the schools that we pass. I would love to go into the libraries in time.
Yeah.
But we're covering currently 650 schools, that we give a gig line to. Mm-hmm. The ISPs then also give a service to it. So it's an active school.
Yeah.
So now we want to see what additional services can we put onto the school so the kids can get the benefits, So really, I would love to connect every school that we pass, So goal at this point is to get to 1,000 schools quickly with that connectivity solution.
Yeah. And it's all prepaid in these areas, right?
Prepaid, yeah.
How important has prepaid been in the success of Vuma?
No, it's phenomenal because remember, I mean, one of the barriers were definitely the connection leg of it. You look at areas and then you look at scale. Collection's an issue. It's definitely an issue. Now, this is just a prepaid platform, so we're tying up with the payment gateways. I can't tell you who we're tying up with now, but I mean, there's big retail outlets signing up with us as well.
Okay.
Or us signing up with them. But it's basically getting those payment solutions, payment gateways linked to the prepaid platforms, and then it's simple.
It's going to be like getting airtime for yourself.
It's getting airtime. It's like getting airtime for prepaid electricity.
Yeah.
And it's hassle-free, So it's that always connect, easy access type of scenario that we follow.
Yeah. Now, I was listening to Peter Ace. I think you were presenting as well at the Rainbow Capital Markets Day a few months back. And I was amazed to hear him talking about potentially rolling out uncapped broadband to areas at 100 rand a month.
Mm.
And I take it this is part of your Vuma Key initiative. Mm. Can you tell us a bit about Vuma Key? What is it exactly? And is Peter, is 100 rand a month possible?
Yeah, that's possible.
How?
And Peter, no, that's the question, but it's definitely possible, So we piloted, remember years ago we actually mentioned that we would like to do a pilot in Alex.
Yes.
So we've done the pilot in Alex. We're actually extending this pilot in Alex. And there it's a little bit, it's a 10 meg service, it's uncapped, it starts with a minimum 10. But it can go up to basically a 50 meg service in time. And it's a little bit more contended, but it's a dedicated service. Fiber and a little bit of a different technology in there, but it's a fiber connectivity to your house. So it's dedicated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's a guaranteed service, you know. And yes, we can get to 100, under 100 rand, a connection or a house.
Well, uncapped 10 megabit per second fiber.
Yes, yes, and it'll be more than that. You know, I want to say 10 now, but I don't want to commit to a 20. But but listen, it'll be more than a 10. Let me say it like that. Minimum 10. And but remember, that's the more the informal dwellings. You know, these are people that don't own the properties. You know, it's a little bit more informal settlements. It's household incomes, or let's say measured household incomes of less than 5,000 rand a month.
Yes.
But there's disposable income there.
Yes.
Remember, there's more than we think.
Mm.
And
there's demand to get online. Oh,
and there's demand. The challenge is, how do you do this? How do you digitalize this? How do you get your channel to be profitable in time? You know, so those are the questions we have to get around, you know, and, or that we have to get answers to those questions. But listen, it's there. So Kayamandi, we piloting now, very successful.
Where is Kayamandi?
That's in Stellenbosch, just outside Stellenbosch. Okay. Yeah, Khayelitsha, we actually piloting now, you know, so we actually, we're doing it
commercial. Live customers.
Live customers, okay. Yes. Yeah. So we, and we're extending it a little bit. So as we do it, we learn. That's it, you know, failing forward or making mistakes forward. And we're making mistakes, you know, and it's a little bit more, how do you localize your distribution? How do you localize a lot of the businesses around it? So there's a lot of questions and there's a lot of learnings we have to take from this. Huh? So we're going to make a few mistakes, and I think we are making mistakes, but we're making inroads, you know, so we're getting to a solution that I think, oh, if we can get it right, we're going to get it right.
You know?
And listen, at the end, other competitors will follow us. You know, they're following me now or us now on prepaid. You know, like every second person is now launching prepaid, you know, which I love because we've got 16 million homes to cover.
Yeah.
You know, so we need the investment going in. It must just be clever investment, not overbuild and predator pricing in areas where there's no service.
Yeah.
You know, we must be clever in investing, you know.
So take me through one of these pilot projects that you're running. What does it actually look like? I presume it's aerial fiber that's coming in.
Yeah.
What does the access point look like? I presume it looks very different to a suburban house.
Yeah, it's an aerial fiber, and it's an aerial fiber going into the dwelling.
Okay.
You know, it's basically that. You know, so you've got,
and there's a box.
There's a box, and there's then a ONT in one of the units, and then it's a split out of that ONT.
Okay.
So, but it's very similar. It looks a little bit different to a dug ground fiber but the connection is very simple. Yeah. It's very close to, you know, the stand fiber, you know, where the poles, the mid block fibers, where you put the poles in the mid block, like the old telecom model where you got a telecom pole in the back of your garden. It's very similar to that. And then there's just more drop off points by effectively from there.
Right.
So
the idea is actually to connect every single dwelling unit, not to create Wi-Fi hotspots throughout the area.
No, it's not going to be Wi-Fi. Wi-Fi doesn't work. You know, it's just because of the volumes.
There have been a lot of attempts to do that in South Africa.
Volumes. Remember, what I'm saying is, I mean, people are using 400 gigs in Mitchells at this point. Yeah?
Right.
And, you know, you look at the active devices in those homes, it's just going to become more.
Yeah,
you know, I even look at the and I think this is what I see going forward. But I mean, I think your entry speeds will also go up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the days of just having a 10 meg service or a 20 meg service is gone. You know,
mm-hmm.
I think 3, 4, 5 years from now, your entry point will be at least 100 meg, 200 meg service going in.
Yeah,
you know, and that obviously that creates that demand and that more volume, and you'll see your usage going up tremendously in time.
Yeah.
And that's why I say, you know, people ask me about fiber versus other technologies and over the tops. Listen, you need fiber. You know, and that's what I love with the DFA Vuma model now is, remember, we also giving access to the fiber, you know, to the 5G providers, you know. And that's the whole thing that works, because it's mobile, it's always connected, it's different technology, seamless different technologies. Yeah. And that's where I see convergence going, you know. And that's why I think, if you look at the whole world, you know, the Vodacom, you know, the deal is a deal that has to happen. You look at MTN Rain, looking at Telkom, it's a deal that has to happen in time, because that convergence has to happen between fixed and mobile. Because your volumes and your throughputs and your speeds, it's difficult to just run it all frequencies mobile and spectrum.
Yeah.
You have to have that connectivity and access to your infrastructure.
I mean, if you've connected up every dwelling in South Africa, almost every dwelling in South Africa, Is there still a place for mobile
yes.
data? They'll still coexist.
Yeah, because you look at the world, yeah. it's convergent. Mm-hmm. You need that to converge in time, you know, because people do travel, they do move, you need speeds. That always connected is the key thing. Mm-hmm. You know, you can ask any kid in Europe today, I mean, they always connected. If they're on a train, they're on Wi-Fi. If they're in their offices, they're on Wi-Fi. If they in the cars, they actually got. But they always want to be connected. Yes. It doesn't matter on what technology, but the integration and the convergence between fixed and mobile, which is complemented from a fiber point of view versus a coverage point of view, on the mobile side has to be will happen. Mm. It will happen. Mm-hmm. Go look at the rest of the world. It's happening. You know, and I think it's complementary. And if you want world-class services with 400 gigs at a speed that makes sense in time, that convergence between a fixed fiber versus a mobile solution is super critical.
Mm-hmm. Before I let you go, let's talk a little bit about consolidation, because there's been talk about this for years. In fact, Vumatel has played a role in some of that consolidation in previous years. You bought Fiberhoods. There have been some other acquisitions. I think you bought some assets from Link Africa. There may have been one or two other deals I'm forgetting about. But there's been talk of consolidation in this market for some time. We saw the MTN Telkom talks, which fell through. There was talk that was largely to get access to OpenServe and their fiber assets. What do you see in this market? There are a lot of players out there. Do you expect there's going to be consolidation in the coming time? And who's going to drive it?
I think your MNOs will drive it. Mm-hmm. You know, I think between your between Vodacom, MTN, Rain, they will drive it. You know, I think Rain's 5G driven at this point. You know, they're very structured 5G network, first 5G network. I think they have to look at a solution which is a fixed. So they'll definitely drive it.
Interesting,
And it makes sense. But you also look at the MTN. You know, if it makes sense for them to look at OpenServe. You know, to get to a fiber solution. Vodacom obviously looking at us. You know, I'm an old ex Vodacom Vodafone person, you know, and we've debated this for the last, I would tell you, the last 15 years on convergence, mm-hmm. you know, and it's happening. It's happening faster than we think. So I think there will be, there has to be convergence. If you want 5G networks to, and it's, remember, that's the beginning, is the 5G networks. If you want to get 5G networks to work the way they should work.
Yeah.
There has to be converged technology behind it.
Yeah.
ISP side, I think we've seen it. You know, you saw FRIO's cool ideas, you know, you're seeing some consolidation. And it becomes a margin game. It's a bit of a size game in time, you know. So I think yes, there will be quite a few ISPs in the market, but I think there will be some little consolidation here and there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's a bit of a scale thing.
Yeah.
You know, and as we digitalize more into that customer segment, I think you'll see some people consolidating faster, because you have to really invest in your systems.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you can go look at even the F&Os, you know, if you look at where we were a little bit weak on was systems, mm-hmm. the customer experience side. And I would go the same with the system size side on some of the smaller ISPs. And at the end, it's very capital intensive to get to the point where you give that customer service to people that they need, you know. And I think the more competitive it becomes on the customer service level, you know, the more pressure will be on the CapEx and the investment in systems.
Huge investments being made, and actually very exciting for the future of South Africa if we can get this right. Might be replicated in other African markets and around the world. Dietlof, fantastic chatting to you. Dietlof Maree is CEO of Massive and of Vumatel. Thank you so much for joining us in the studio today.
Duncan, thank you. Always nice chatting to you. Thank you.